This is Dr. XH Balthazar. I'm broadcasting once again to present my findings from the world of the uncanny. As you may remember, during my last broadcast, I was forced to cut short due to a message from our expedition team. I am not one to end my speeches just as they're beginning to get interesting, but the interruption was necessary. The information relayed by the organization and the team in the Black Forest is quite intriguing. The initial message I received told me to check the post office in a few days. The team in the Black Forest had finished their investigation and were sending me their information. Supposedly, they were able to make contact with the creature and wanted me to broadcast their findings to you. I have received many files and documents, including some pictures which are quite disturbing. The story surrounding the investigation adds even more to the sinister ambiance. I've spent the last week working on coordinating their notes and evidence in a digestible manner, which I shall now present. To begin, I'm going to play a tape recorded by Dr. Anthony Mercurio, lead of the investigation team.
This is Dr. Anthony Mercurio, recording the first of what I hope to be many tapes. I've been hired by a scientific collective to research some sort of animal located in the Black Forest of Minnesota. I've not been given a lot of information as regards to what is the fauna in question, but the company paid me heavily for my immediate action. We shall see what lays in store for us. I'm here now in the forest with the rest of my team members, Dr. Nerhan Steiner, Darren Smith, and Aldous Manorville. Mr. Smith is our local guide meant to navigate us through the thick brush. He's a local from this town. He's quite weary of the forest. He had us stepping on eggshells as we trekked our way into the forest from town, being very careful not to stray from his path. He's fashioned us some necklaces that he demands be worn around our necks at all times. My colleague, Dr. Steiner, and I think his seriousness to be a bit much, but Mr. Manorville hasn't said a word to us since we began our entry into the site. I took that as a sign of the severity of this lead. He didn't say much to begin with, but he keeps surveying the tops of tree lines looking for something. I'm guessing it has something to do with the piles of branches we keep seeing on the ground every few meters. We've camped in the center of the forest, or what our guide has assured us is the center of the forest, for the remainder of our stay. The sun is setting, and we will soon enter the window of time when our creature begins to show itself. I've barely touched the food Mr. Smith has prepared for us in anticipation of our findings. I shall make another recording after our first contact, if that happens. That is all for now. It has been 2 days since we've made camp here in the Black Forest. We did not observe the creature until the second night. We heard the trees groaning all around us, knowing it was watching us from different viewpoints. This creature is definitely a predator. I believe it was studying us, looking for weaknesses. It dropped down from its spot outside of our camp. Dr. Steiner had to spend time with Mr. Smith, who could not keep his emotions in check once the creature approached. My colleague had to subdue the poor man with all his weight and a few restraints. It was up to me to study its behavior for the remainder of the evening. There is not much to report other than the extreme consciousness and intellect of the beast. It sat on its hind legs watching us at the edge of our camp. It barely moved an inch. The rest of the night I spent marking down the notes, which I will send along. I'm a bit apprehensive about this project moving forward. Our sleeping schedule is being drastically shifted in order to study this creature. I fear that some of the more emotional members of our party will not be able to handle the change. I, myself, worry that I might not be able to handle the change. We do what we must, right? I shall begin a new recording after our investigation tomorrow night. There has been a development within the research party. Mr. Smith is not waking up. My colleague, Dr. Steiner, was the last one to see him awake. He was assured by Mr. Smith he was fine after his hysteria from seeing the creature. It is unclear what ailment Mr. Smith is going through as of this moment. It seems to be some sort of shock sustained from the night before. All of his bodily functions are operating as normal, but he doesn't respond to any stimuli. We tried to get him to eat with us this afternoon, but he just sits still without even blinking. Mr. Manerville is saying we should let him die. It's the best thing for him, he says. I don't plan on offering any sacrifices to this being now or in the future. We will all leave this forest alive and together. My colleague and I have decided it would be best to pick up our camp and move deeper into the forest. We believe this creature has made a nest, so we will spend all day canvassing the area for it. Mr. Manerville has urged us not to push any further into the forest. I have the suspicious feeling that our security expert isn't telling us everything he knows about the creature. I can feel it in the way he constantly surveys the tops of the trees. However, it's possible that I'm mistaking his caution for paranoia. I will not be able to record for a few days, so this should be my last tape until we reach the final moments of our adventure. I plan to spend time going in detail about the creature and its function in these next couple days. I hope to God that Mr. Smith's paralysis is the final hiccup of the excursion. We have left our camp and have finished our research. I need to explain what has transpired since our last recording. Mr. Smith disappeared into the forest. We tried to search for him, but Manerville fought against the idea. He held us at gunpoint and would not leave the campgrounds until he felt we were finished with our work. I didn't believe that Dr. Steiner and I were bait for this creature to be caught, but it seems to be the truth. The high price they paid us, the anxiety to get us here quickly, it all makes sense that we are now an expendable party. Once we decided that this trip was to our satisfaction and that we would like to head back, Mr. Manerville stated that we were to stay one more night and conduct any outstanding tests. I knew he wanted to keep us in the forest for as long as possible. My colleague and I could only oblige the man's request. He was the only one with a weapon. Night came and the creature arrived at the same time it always did. As soon as it landed at the edge of our camp, the hunter fired his gun at the creature. The shotgun blast ripped through the creature's shoulder. Mr. Manerville chased after his prey, but the creature jumped into the trees and swung away into the darkness. Manerville charged into the darkness after the beast, loading up with a few more shells. We tried to get him to stop, but he was gone as fast as the creature. The stillness of the forest crept over us. Dr. Steiner convinced me to forego some of the equipment and run with him out of the forest. We could hear the faint but powerful shotgun blasts of Mr. Manerville ring out through the night. We could see the tree line. It was only a few paces out when we heard it. We heard the creature above our heads, jumping from limb to limb. We looked back to see two pairs of red orbs staring back at us from the tops of the trees. We didn't know that it reproduced. Dr. Steiner and I made a final push out of the forest and back onto the pavement where we got into the car. We drove off and did not look back. I will not disclose where I'm sending these recordings from. I want nothing to do with this organization anymore.
I was a bit shocked when I listened to the full tape. The organization has not presented itself as a malevolent entity, at least, not to me, and my colleague assured me that they had no ill intentions for the team. After listening to the recordings, I reached out to Charlie. When asked, he didn't know a Mr. Smith. He claimed that no one had heard of him. No one in the town knew the team was even there. He did say, however, that they heard all of the gunshots being fired. He said that the town had met the next morning to discuss what had happened. Supposedly, a group entered the woods to inspect the damage. They found pieces of what they guessed to be Mr. Manerville. Dried blots of blood were clinging onto the bark of a good number of trees. Bits and pieces of flesh and bone were found underneath piles of broken branches. Mr. Manerville seemed to have failed at his task. There was no sign of whether Mr. Smith was still alive. A few people found footprints, but they seemed to walk in circles. According to the notes of Dr. Mercurio, it seems those two final eyes were a hallucination due to extreme shock and trauma. I plan to spend some time going over the notes to better understand what they encountered. I hope to have more for all of you in the coming weeks. But until then, goodbye and good night.